Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we are continuing our discussion of how to deal with fear. And we've already covered a lot of ground. If you missed any of the previous days, you can go to our website and find the earlier broadcast from this week. I'd like to repeat everything I've said, but we're already on Thursday. I can't believe it. Yesterday, we looked at David. David, by his own testimony, was delivered from his fears in fearsome, fearful circumstances. Psalm 34, verse 4, David said, "The Lord delivered me from all my fears." That psalm was written when David was on the run from King Saul, who wanted to kill him, and David was literally in fear for his life. But God delivered him from his fears and ended up delivering him from the fearful situation. Now, we looked at Psalm 56, which is another on-the-run psalm written by David when he was being pursued by Saul. And he said, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." What time I am afraid, that tells us there were times he did feel fear. It wasn't a sin, it wasn't wrong, it wasn't bad. It was the appropriate emotional response in the situation he was in. What time I am afraid, though, I will trust in thee. I will put my trust in God. I'll rely and depend on him. And then yesterday we pointed out that in verse 4, David went on to say, "In God I will praise his word." And then in verse 11, he says two times, "In God I will praise his word. In the Lord I will praise his word." Faith is the New Testament counterpart for the Old Testament word trust. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The ability to rely and depend on God comes from his word, because his word tells us what God is like. He's good, and good means good. It tells us what he has done for us, what he is doing for us, and what he will do for us, and all that stimulates trust. But then David goes on to say, "I'll praise your word. I'll praise your word." We found out yesterday that word means to commend, to boast, to shine. In Psalm 34, verse 2, David said, "My soul will make her boast in the Lord." It's the same word translated praise in Psalm 56. What's the point? The point is when David felt fear, he began to boast about the Lord's word. He began to shout about the Lord's promise, about the Lord's word, God's word to him, what God had done, said he would do, and said that he was doing. He put his attention on the word of God and began to speak it out. Now, we said that we reminded ourselves that we learned last week that's exactly how Paul dealt with his negative emotions. You may recall we looked at 2 Corinthians 6:10, where he talked about being sorrowful yet rejoicing. That word rejoicing means to be cheerful or to strengthen and encourage yourself. When Paul felt sorrow, he encouraged himself or strengthened himself. And then he tells us in Romans 12:12 that he rejoiced in hope, or he cheered himself by calling to mind the reasons he had to hope or to expect coming good. Well, all that information comes from the word of God. And then we looked at Romans 5:2, where Paul spoke of rejoicing in hope of the glory of God, of seeing God manifest or demonstrate himself in this life and the life to come. Rejoice there literally means to boast. So Paul, in the face of fear, Paul, in the face of sorrow, boasted about the hope that he had in God, the expectation of coming good that he had in God. Well, that's what David was talking about. In God, I'll boast in his word. In God, I'll extol his promises. See, both David and Paul knew that in the face of formidable circumstances and the emotions stimulated by them, they needed to boast about God. When you rejoice or praise God, you brag on him, who he is, and what he has done, is doing, and will do, and it strengthens you. It strengthens you. And as a byproduct, you may feel better. But actually, that's not the end game. That's a whole can of worms for another day. The point is, when you face formidable circumstances that make you afraid, you need to begin to talk about who God is, what he has done, is doing, and will do, because I don't care what it is that's coming against you, it's not bigger than God. It's not bigger than God. If you come against me and I got a great big gun, I'm not afraid, because I got a bigger power than you available to me to use. Well, guess what? God's bigger than the biggest gun I can find. Nothing can come against me that's bigger than God. Therefore, I have no reason to fear. That doesn't mean I won't feel fear stimulated by something I see or something I hear or something I experience. But what time I am afraid, I will trust in him. In God, I will praise his word. I will begin to boast about God, who he is, what he has done, is doing, and will do. In the face of fear, both David and Paul boasted about God, and both of them lived as overcomers. I think we can follow their example safely. Now, this can be a battle. I understand. I'm fully human too. We constantly get input about reality from what we see, from what we hear, and from how we feel about what we see and hear. We don't have to put forth any effort to gather that information. I remember one time I was walking into the store. It was a beautiful early summer day, one of those days when the weather, the temperature is just perfect, the humidity is just perfect, and the breeze was blowing lightly. And as I'm walking across the parking lot, I got my arms out, feeling the breeze. And for a moment, I just kind of shut my eyes and felt the sensation of this beautiful atmosphere and breeze. And it dawned on me, I'm taking in all this sense information, this information from my senses, without putting forth one effort on my part. It's just coming into me. My senses, they're like little antennas. They're constantly gathering information. Now, when we're talking about a beautiful breeze on an early summer day, there's no problem with that. But the problem is my senses also gather in every piece of junk in my environment as well. So I'm constantly getting information about reality that doesn't take God into account, that doesn't take his power or provision into account. I have to put forth effort to seek information from God's word about reality the way it truly is. And then I have to think about it and let it change my view of reality. It takes effort to counteract the constant information that we get from what we see. You have to put forth effort to get information from the unseen realm, and you have to take time to think about it until it becomes just as real to you as what you can see, hear, taste, smell, or feel. You must understand that you're affected by every bit of information that comes your way. It either strengthens your faith in God and his invisible kingdom of full power and provision, or it undermines your faith in God and his invisible kingdom of full power and provision. It's vital that you take note of and filter information. Choose to focus your attention on what God says. I can't emphasize this strongly enough. Become aware of where you put your attention. Don't just mindlessly sit in front of the TV. Filter stuff out. I'm not just talking about nasty stuff. You don't need to hear constant input about how the economy's going to crash and there's no jobs and prices are going up and what are we going to do. Why? Because it undermines your trust in God, who says he'll provide for you. Because all that looks and feels bigger than God. You need to filter that stuff out and make an effort to feed your faith in God and his promise and his provision. A preacher who had a big influence on my life used to say, You can't stop the birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from making a nest in your head. You can keep them from making a nest in your hair. There's such wisdom in that. I can't stop the information from coming to me, but I can filter stuff out. I can choose not to look at things that feed my fears. I had a real fear of ghosts and things like that before I became a Christian. I knew there was an unseen supernatural realm, and I was afraid of it. That was a very difficult thing for me, but I got victory over it in the Lord. I'm not afraid now, but I don't feed that. All these reality shows about ghosts and stuff, I don't turn them on. Not because I'm afraid, but because I don't want to feed my confidence in any of that stuff. I want to feed my confidence in God and His power. See, you need to become aware of and ask yourself, where is this information coming from? Is it coming from what God says? Or is it coming from what I see, or what I hear, or what I feel? You need to become aware of what's going into you. Feed your faith, not your fears. We don't deny what we see and feel. We recognize that there's more to the situation than what we see or feel. Do you remember when that guy named Jairus who came to Jesus? Jairus' daughter was very sick on the point of death, and he asked Jesus to come and pray for her, which he agreed to do. While they were en route, though, the woman with the issue of blood touched Jesus' clothing. Power went out of him, and she was healed, and Jesus stopped to talk to her. And while that incident was unfolding, messengers from Jairus' house came to report that his daughter had died. Don't trouble the master anymore. Your daughter's dead. Now, notice how Jesus dealt with that news that the girl had died and what he told Jairus to do. This is Mark 5, verse 36 out of the Amplified. Jesus, overhearing but ignoring what the messenger said, told the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be seized with alarm and have no fear, only keep believing." Jesus ignored what they said about the girl being dead, and he told the guy, resist fear, continue to believe. To ignore means to refuse to take notice of. Don't let what you see and feel dictate your view of reality or your actions. Take your courage from the Word of God. Boast on God. Whatever's coming against you, it's not bigger than God. Therefore, fear not. The power on your side is greater than what's coming against you. More tomorrow.
You have been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619.